The American walks every day normal going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Towers, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
Wait.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing, Big Al?
Doing great, Vito. Great to be here, as always. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hanging in there, doing good. You know, just dealing. It's not in any, yeah. Not in any legal, just dealing with, you know, business.
I heard a rumor you shot a 68 this weekend. Is that true? It was all over
that
the
is
internet.
True. I did. I shot a 68. I did. I played well yesterday.
That's outstanding. Congratulations.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a – I had a terrible round on Thursday. And so I went to the range Friday, and then I went to the range for 2.5 hours on Saturday, and then spent another 45 minutes on the putting green, just putting and chipping. And aside from a couple of bogeys yesterday, I ended up shooting 68. So it was nice. It felt good to be back.
Well, good. A lot of work and a lot of effort goes into it. It just doesn't happen.
No, it just doesn't happen. It was so I was extremely disappointed after Thursday's round and baffled. And so some things I've been working on, and I hit the ball well yesterday and had really good drives, good iron shots. And how'd you play?
Shot a 78, and for me, that was pretty. That was a personal best. Broke 80 for the first time ever, so that was pretty exciting.
Good for you. That's really nice. Hey, very nice.
Yeah, felt good.
We both had good weeks, huh?
Yeah, it seems the slower and smoother you swing, the ball goes further and straighter most times. For a little bit of a draw, it's amazing.
It is amazing. It really is. It truly is amazing. It's a game of opposites.
Yes.
But it's getting the club in the right position, too. That's the idea. So.
Mm-hmm. That's a big, big part of it. So.
But you did
get their club in the right position. We're the PGA Tour Pros this weekend. What a great championship round.
It was the PGA's second major of the year, and the PGA Championship held at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The last time it was played in 2007, it was won by Tiger Woods. The weather once again played a role. Thursday and Friday rounds, the weather saw temperatures in the 90s, and then Saturday's round, it was like you turned the TV and you were watching a different month. It dropped down to 50 degrees, 50 degrees, and Chile's Nito Pieri surged out to the lead on Saturday. At one point, he had a 5-shot lead to 10 under par, but Southern Hills was tough. No lead was safe, not even 4 or 5-shot leads, and on Sunday, that was proven. Nito was limping in, holding on to a 1-shot lead most of the day, 1 and 2 shots. On the 17th hole, he chipped his second shot a bit long, about a 10 or 12 footer for a birdie to stretch the lead to 2 going into 18, and Mito left the putt on the lip. I mean, it was a half a revolution from going in the cup. So he taps in for a par. He's got a 1-shot lead walking to the 18th hole. Justin Thomas was in the house. He carded a 5-under par total. He was 1 shot back at 6-under par. 5-under par. Will Zalatoris, America Will Zalatoris, was on the 18th hole, leading to drain an 18-foot par putt to tie Thomas at 5-under par in second place. Zalatoris is a mediocre putter at best. He drained the 18-footer, securing a tie with Thomas for second place. Now, Mito, he tees off. And he drives the ball. He tees off on the 18th hole. He drives it. The ball starts cutting to the right, okay? It takes several bounces, and it bounces right in the creek. It's the last thing in the world that could be done on the 18th hole at Southern Hills with a 1-shot lead. Bad enough it goes in the water, but now where Mito has to take the drop, he's blocked out by a tree, and he has to hit a huge fade, or what we call a cut shot, to get it on the green in order to try and save par. He pulls his shot. It ends up in the rough. He's on the left side of the green. He now has to chip across the green to save bogey and to join and make it a 3-man playoff unless he chips it in. Well, he didn't chip it in, and it wasn't a good chip because he has been pulling his shots. He was been pulling all of his chips. I don't know if you noticed it, Al, but the last 5 holes, I noticed that he was pulling his chips to the left. And no doubt he pulls his chip to the left. He's got a 20-plus foot putt to save bogey and to join the playoff. And here's a guy who led the tournament for 2 days. And it came down to 1 hole and 1 putt to tie. And the poor guy misses the putt. He ends up double bogeying the hole. Not only does he not make the playoff, he ends up in a tie for 3rd place, which is absolutely a tough loss. And I'll tell you this, not 30 minutes prior to that last hole, I'm bitching to Mrs. Vito. I mean, damn it, here we go again. Not another damn American in the damn playoffs. The Americans suck. Well, it turns out that not one American was in the playoff. There were 2 Americans in the playoff. It was a 3-hole aggregate score. And both Thomas, Justin Thomas, and Will Zalatoris on the first hole, they both birdie the hole. The second hole, Zalatoris pars it, and Thomas birdies it. And now they have to either both now Zalatoris needs to birdie the last hole, the third hole, and Thomas needs to par so they can extend it. But guess what? Thomas picks, and he pars the hole, Zalatoris pars the hole, and Justin Thomas wins his second PGA Championship. And Al, this win is huge. If you win the PGA Championship, it gives you a lifetime exemption into the PGA Championship tournament. It's a five-year exemption on the PGA Tour. It's a five-year exemption into the Masters. It's a five-year exemption into the U.S. and the British Open. And certainly, it's a life-changing win. And, you know, Justin Thomas already had a lifetime exemption into the PGA Championship, but now it guarantees him into the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the British Open for the next 5 years. It was a great win. It was a very anemic Sunday until the last, what, four holes, and then it really got good.
Yep. It was. And then did you watch Mito's interview after the after his, I don't know the word for it, but
meltdown?
When he lost his mind? Yeah.
You know what? I thought it was, yeah, I did. I thought it was classy. What about you?
It's the same. I thought it was phenomenal. What did you like about it?
I thought he was honest. I thought he understood exactly what happened. And he knew that it was his tournament to win, and he didn't hit the right shot on the very last hole. Bad enough that he had a couple of bogeys, I think on 14 and 15 or 15 and 16, and then not to birdie 17. I think he knew, and it hit his tee shot in the water. He probably is thinking the next time he plays that hole, hit a three woods to keep it out of the water. But I gotta say, he went after it. He was aggressive right to the end. You can't fault him for that.
Well, I like the fact that he said that it was his nerves, and his nerves got to him, and the pressure was incredible, something he'd never experienced before, because this was his very first PGA Tour tournament that he's played in, if I recall.
You are correct, and that's a really good point. I forgot that you're absolutely right. The pressure is so intense, and you're standing up there, and guess what? You don't have a teammate. You don't have anybody who's going to hit the shot. You got to hit it. You got to suck it up some way. And, man, you know, it's a – yeah. That was a very honest interview.
Yep. And then he was smiling. He was kind of laughing about it. You could tell it was kind of forced, uncomfortable laughter. But he's like, hey, my nerves got the best of me, and I choked, basically. So I thought that was very refreshing with all the BS that a lot of these athletes spew during these interviews. They're so contrived, but this one seemed real and genuine, and it appealed to me.
Yeah, I think I would have handed my driver that was in two pieces to the announcer and said, here's a souvenir.
Here's how I really feel.
This is how I really feel. Yeah, for 25 years old, his first tournament, or 23, I think he did very well. And it's, you know, I did feel bad for him. I mean, even, you know, Holger asked me, don't you feel bad for the guy? I said, I do. I do feel bad for the guy. I think it was sad, you know, but I was really happy for Justin Thomas. Zalatoris, man, if I'm Will Zalatoris, I'd be on the phone last night at 8 o'clock Central Time to the best damn putting coach in the world, and for the next 6 months, day and night, I'm working to figure out how to putt. Because that poor guy, I mean, he can't go through, he cannot go through the rest of his PGA Tour time and not putt. I mean, his putting is atrocious. And for a guy who is so talented, he's got to get this worked out. He can't be missing putts. And, you know, Saturday he blew that round, and then Sunday, yesterday, he had an opportunity to move ahead and really take the command of the tournament, and his putting sucked.
Yep. And then Tiger Woods played. I don't know if you saw that, but he was there and had a very rough day, but he was out there walking it, which was amazing, with the leg that's put together with steel and screws and duct tape and a little baling wire through all those weather changes. My God. Yeah, he withdrew. But he was still out there. That was pretty amazing.
It was. It was. So yeah, kudos to Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris and to Mito Pereira. That's a name, you know, this kid's going to be good if he can continue to keep his head straight. He's going to be a good, great player. And in crybaby news, the Major League Baseball, and I know I don't mean to take Hank Jones' thunder here, but Saturday at the Bronx, the Yankees, I did not watch the game. I did read it on the line. Yankees versus the Red Sox, the Chicago White Sox, things got a little heated. And, you know, it turns out, you know, with this woke crowd, this is a time of wokeness. The New York Yankees player makes a racist remark to a black player. Now, let me tell you something. This didn't happen. It was not a racist remark, okay? And so if you are a baseball player, a Major League Baseball player, and your name is Tim Anderson, and you liken yourself to Jackie Robinson, okay, you should not take offense if somebody calls you Jackie. Now, these guys have got some egos. And Tim Anderson, in 2019, he gave an interview to Sports Illustrated where he likened himself to Jackie Robinson. The only problem is that Tim Anderson was making, you know, $1.4 million and Jackie Robinson was making $79 a game, okay? So the poor guy, you know, can't be, you know, that much like Jackie. But Jackie Robinson was a great player, a Hall of Fame player, okay? So what happened then is Josh Donaldson is a third baseman for the New York Yankees, is walking, I guess, to the plate or something, and he encounters Tim Anderson, and Josh Donaldson says, "Hey, what's up, Jackie?" And Tim Anderson goes ballistic. "Oh, you're being racist." Well, first of all, Tim Anderson is black, and Tim Anderson is the one person, okay, that likened himself to Jackie Robinson. So what do baseball players do? "Hey, what's up, Jackie?" There was nothing racist about it. But, of course, in today's woke crowd, little crybaby Tim Anderson has to call it a racist event. Bullshit, you know. And you wonder why people are being turned off on Major League Baseball. I mean, there's nothing that Josh Donaldson did or said that would even imply to be racist. You know, stop being egotistical, Tim Anderson, and don't liken yourself to Jackie Robinson. If you want to be thought of as the next Jackie Robinson, you got to take it like a man, okay? Man up. But no, not with this woke PC crowd. Jeez. A little more sports and NBA news. This one's kind of a really hard thing here. I got this from the Blaze Media. And I think I also saw it on www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A family of a 15-year-old girl who went missing at a Dallas Mavericks game demand answers from 8 people arrested in a sex trafficking scheme. Dallas police and Oklahoma hotel where she was found. I don't know if you heard about this, Al, but a 15-year-old girl goes to the Dallas Mavericks basketball game on April the 8th with her father. She goes to the restroom, and she doesn't come back. And now she's with her mother and father. Her mother and father now are going ballistic. Like, where did their daughter go? Well, it turns out that these 8 scumbags, these 8 pieces of human debris, go to these sporting events, and they prey on young girls. And they steal their innocence. And what happened, this 15-year-old girl was going to the restroom. Some guy or girl convinces her, and they abduct her. So they take her to Oklahoma. Well, got to give it kudos to the police departments, the law enforcement agencies, because they were on this sex trafficking thing immediately. 15-year-old girl went missing in the middle of a Dallas Mavericks basketball game on April the 8th. The teenager was found 11 days later at an Oklahoma City hotel after nude photos of the girl were discovered online in advertisements for sex. The attorney for the family of the girl is now demanding answers about their daughter's disappearance from from the 8 suspects alleged to have been involved in a sex trafficking scheme, the Mavericks organization, the Dallas Police Department, and an Oklahoma hotel. 8 people have been arrested in connection with the disappearance of the North Texas team. The Oklahoma Police Department arrested Sonia Alexander, Chovon Gibson, Thalia Gibson, Karen Gonzalez, Sarah Hayes, Stephen Hill, Kenneth Nelson, and Melissa Wheeler in connection with the case. 8 scumbags, pieces of crap. Gibson is charged with offering to engage in prostitution. Nelson, Hayes, and Gonzalez are charged with human trafficking and the distribution of child pornography. Hill is charged with rape, and that would be Stephen Hill. Gibson and Alexander have felony warrants, and Wheeler has a robbery warrant, the Daily Beast reported. Gonzalez is accused of taking the illicit photos of the 15-year-old girl. Hayes allegedly watched the photos being taken and then posted them on the Internet for sex ads. Nelson is a convicted sex offender. So why is a convicted sex offender out? You know, why is Kenneth Nelson out of jail? That scumbag should be put on death row and never ever come out of jail again. I mean, he's a convicted sex offender, and now he abducts a 15-year-old. He takes part in abducting a 15-year-old girl. Well, the photos will help tip off the human trafficking agency, the Texas Counter Trafficking Initiative in Houston, to locate the missing teen. So kudos to the Texas Counter Trafficking Initiative for finding this girl. It's just sad it took 11 days, but thankfully they did get this girl. Now, the Extended Stay America Hotel is where they found this girl. I'm not sure you can blame the hotel, but you certainly can blame each and every employee at that hotel, because they, I'm sure, know what's going on when you have these scumbags that come in, and they probably pay these people at the front desk and anybody who works there to keep their mouth shut, okay? So, there has to be a true house cleaning, and you have to just go ahead and just remove all these people from that extended stay hotel, purge them, arrest them, fine them, and start again, because this is just incredible. What a horrific thing for the parents of this child.
Well, amazingly, what's not in this story is the racial component, because human trafficking is nothing more than slavery by another name, where you take an individual and you're literally controlling every aspect of their life, and they're your slaves. And the makeup of the 8, there's 2 white women, the rest are black and Hispanic. So the racial component is more Hispanic and black committing slavery. There's an irony there, and that is not being talked about. For once, they're leaving race out of the story, and this is where race should be in the story, because of the race of these human slavery criminals must be addressed. But everyone's afraid to address it, and I think it's a valid point.
Well, you know, today's wokeness, they're so intent on blaming white people for everything, because that's the woke crowd. Yeah, you want to talk about slavery? I was reading a story in Jihad Watch. Did you read that one about the Muslim family in Virginia enslaved a woman from Pakistan? It was an arranged marriage, but they kept her enslaved. And it looks like the neighbors were getting concerned. And it turns out that an 80-year-old woman, a 54-year-old who arranged the marriage to a 54-year-old son, and another son, Muhammad Rehan, Muhammad Nauman, and Aman, they enslaved this woman and didn't let this Pakistani lady out. The neighbors got concerned, and they called the authorities in Virginia, and Richmond, Virginia, and it turns out that this woman was in forced servitude for 12 years. 12 years. And you know, where's care? You know, where Where is the left-wing media in this country, huh? You've got this human trafficking where they abduct and they rape this 15-year-old girl who all she was guilty of was going to a Dallas Mavericks basketball game with her parents. I mean, this is incredible, absolutely incredible that it's happening in the year 2021. It's incredible.
No, with the Muslims, this happens more often than not because it's culturally okay. The only problem was that they were engaging in this type of activity here in the United States of America. If they were overseas in Pakistan or their natives, where did they come from, Saudi Arabia? If they were in their native Islamic country, then Muhammad, they're betrothed this slave woman of a very young age to a 54-year-old man. In the Hadith, Muhammad, at 54, married Aisha. At 6, consummated the marriage at 9. Muhammad is a pedophile. In every dictionary, that is pedophile behavior. But that is every Muslim male wants to identify with Muhammad and then do what Muhammad does. So this family was just behaving and following the Islamic culture and the Hadiths, and the only problem they had is that they were doing this in America where it's illegal.
Yeah.
And what they should do is they should deport the entire chain of families for engaging in this, and then put these three behind bars. And then once they've completed their sentence, you ship them, you deport them and take their passport and visa, and they never can return to America again.
Yeah, you're right. Deport the whole family and their whole structure, because everyone in that family knew what was happening. They condoned that behavior, and then they turned a blind eye because in their point of view, in their world view, they are doing nothing wrong. And that's the problem. And where's the NAACP coming to the defense of this poor girl who was held in slavery for 12 years? Forced to God knows what. They're silent. Which means they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Where was the NAACP with the black people who were part of this gang of eight who kidnapped that 15-year-old girl and who knows how many other children prior to this? They just happened to do it at a high-profile event, which was their undoing, and then they got busted.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I guess Black Lives only matters when you're extorting money from large corporations, right?
Yeah. Yeah, where's the NAACP, speaking of that, coming down on BLM for colors buying multi-million dollar mansions with all the money that was given to them by corporations and individuals to help people of color. And they just embezzled it. It was fraud. I don't see anybody going to prison yet. I don't even see any cases being filed for fraudulent behavior.
Well,
I think there's a double standard.
Your breath. No. No.
Yeah, and this leaker for the Supreme Court of the United States who leaked that draft memo. Gosh, how many weeks? It's been, 2 weeks now? And the leaker hasn't been found? I mean, come on.
You're shocked, Al? Are you shocked? Oh, come on.
I'm upset. And I'm extremely upset, especially with the SCOTUS leak. That is a limit, as we talked about last week, that's limited. There are only a handful of people that had access to that draft. And then multiply that by 2, and you have all the people in that universe who had access to that draft and access to release it in one form or another. And they haven't been able to find out who did it. That means they're just trying to cover it up.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. What disgusts me in this whole thing is the fact that this particular leak was a draft. And Hank's in the room, okay? His friend, Hawkeye Mike, used to clerk for the U.S. Supreme Court. And as Mike articulated, and eloquently articulated, A draft doesn't mean it's the opinion of the court. It's a draft. So without a shadow of a doubt, this was intentional to leak it. Secondly, it was meant as a distraction. And I'll tell you, I'm going to jump to this story real quick because I think this goes hand in hand. At least I'm relating it as a relative story. The breaking news is that San Francisco Archbishop bars Speaker Nancy Pelosi from Holy Communion. And you know, one thing about Nancy Pelosi, she likes to now talk about her being a Catholic. You know, she has the faith, and you know, she likes to opine that now. You know, suddenly the godless and heartless Democrat Communist Party likes to invoke religion when, you know, now as a means of trying to legitimize themselves. But the Archbishop of San Francisco is not having any of that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been barred from receiving Holy Communion in the Archdiocese of San Francisco because of her increasingly extreme position on abortion. Archbishop Salvatore J. Corleone announced on Friday. In a letter to the faithful, the Archbishop wrote that after repeated attempts to speak with Nancy Pelosi and persuade her to adhere to the Catholic Church's teaching that life begins at conception and abortion is a sin, he has determined to place her under public church discipline. Unfortunately, Speaker Pelosi's position on abortion has become only more extreme over the years, especially in the last few months. Corleone wrote, just earlier this month, she once again, as she has many times before, explicitly cited her Catholic faith while justifying abortion as a choice, this time setting herself in direct opposition to Pope Francis. So why I'm tying it to the SCOTUS leak is this. Here, the Democrat Communist Party in America, led by Nancy Pelosi and bumbling Biden, made a calculated decision to distract Americans from what's really going on in America. The blundering of the energy policy, where now Americans are paying $4 to $5 a gallon, where the transportation companies are paying over $5 a gallon for diesel fuel. We're watching escalating grocery prices and cost of goods overall have increased tremendously. And what the Democrat Party did was make a calculated decision to run with an emotional issue, and that emotional issue is abortion. And how do you distract from the real headlines? Because the DNC state media is the so-called mainstream media. So now the Democrat Party is all in on this leak, on this draft. And all it was is a draft. It wasn't an opinion of a legal opinion. It wasn't overturning Roe v. Wade. It was an opinion that was written by Justice Alito. And the fact that the FBI or the United States Marshals have not made a conviction yet in the tiny circle of the Supreme Court is astonishing, but it's not astonishing. Because the cabal in Washington, D.C. runs under a different law. And Nancy Pelosi now thinks that her shit doesn't stink, and because she's Speaker of the House, she has the ability to say anything that she wants to say ad nausea, including chiming in that she is and pounding her chest that she's a Catholic and she's pro-choice. Well, finally, I don't know what happened, but somebody in the Catholic Church awoke. Somebody in the Catholic Church said, wait a minute, something's not right here. You can't continue to use the Catholic Church as your beard, okay, and then not adhere to the teachings of the Catholic Church, and so or the tenets of the Catholic Church. So the Pelosi and the Democrat Communist Party concocted the entire outrage over a leaked document to stir the emotions of the American people, because this is all the rotten Democrat Communist Party has to incite the people. And in good communist exploitation fashion, this may have backfired on the lunatic left. Not that Nancy Pelosi cares, but these political frauds in Washington, D.C., who agreed to take God out of their platform, enjoys using God when it's politically expedient for them. And now Nancy Pelosi is finding out that, hey, I made a calculated error. But not that she has a conscience, which she does not. And so I think it's kind of ironic that here the U.S. Marshals now, what, 2 weeks later, Al, still haven't made any arrests. The judiciary, the Supreme Court, is a close-knit community, and we still have people who were accused of trespassing at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 18 months later now, still haven't been given access to a speedy trial. Isn't it amazing? Do you see anything wrong with this?
Double standard.
Yeah. I think it's great, though, that the Archbishop of the San Francisco Diocese finally stepped up to the plate and said enough is enough. Now, I don't know if any other archdiocese or diocese within the United States are going to adhere to this, like in Washington, D.C., or Virginia, who will deny Nancy Pelosi any communion on Sunday. Good for the church. It's about time. I scold them, when I perceive them to be doing wrong, but this one is right. Good for them. Let that B-I-T-C-H, let her squirm a little bit.
Does she really care other than the personal embarrassment?
No. She doesn't care. She has no conscience. I mean, hell, she doesn't care about utilizing the Catholic Church to justify her pro-abortion stance. Why would she care if, in fact, the church says, I'm sorry, but you can't get the – we're not going to give you a communion? Yeah.
And there's another shooting on – yeah. Huh?
Wait, Holger said they found 706 conservatives who were in D.C. on January the 6th, but they can't find a single clerk who leaked the draft. That is so true.
That's what makes me so upset. I'm a rule of law guy. The rule of law should apply to everybody equally, but I am naive. There's rules for some and then no rules for others.
You know what? No, you know what it is, Al. I don't think you're naive. I don't think we're naive. I think what's happened is that we were sort of oblivious as to what was happening, and Donald Trump actually awakened us. Donald Trump actually awakened people to understand that there is two sets of rules out there, and you know what? I have a clip that we'll play later with regards to the 2016 election that's starting to unfold. And, you know, it seems like that the Durham investigation is just dragging its feet, but there may have been a breakthrough, but I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to play the Glenn Beck, you know, happy days are here again, because you don't want to be premature because you just know that the cabal in D.C. works in a different way. But what's happening is that we are starting to see really what Donald Trump was talking about is actually true. There's two sets of rules. You have the elitist, the oligarchs in Washington, D.C. have one set of rules, and then we, the people, have another set of rules. And we should not challenge what the oligarchs in D.C. state, because they have authoritarian rule. Well, that's not happening anymore. That ain't going to fly anymore. Go ahead. You were going to go on with a story?
There was a shooting on the New York subway again. And a black man by the name of Andrew Abdullah is the suspect. He was shot, a man by the name of Enriquez, in the last car on the subway. Enrique was going to a brunch to meet friends. He was normally Uber the trip, but due to inflation, the cost had skyrocketed. The trip was around $20. So he decided, hey, I'll just hop on the subway, get where I need to go. Well, this Andrew Abdullah was walking back and forth on the car, and then once they got over the bridge, he put the shots into Enriquez, killing him, and then he got off the train. Total stranger, and his name is Abdullah. So there's a good chance that he's a follower of Islam. But
Black didn't make it, huh?
And no, died. He died at 11:42 a.m. And that's that. This poor guy is dead due to another senseless shooting. By a black man. So let's talk race. If you want to talk race, there's another racial component. You got the eight human slavery bastards, pieces of filth, and then you've got this guy.
Man, it's just awful. That's
yeah,
just
and the
know,
blacks
just
taking over mass
business.
Shootings. Yeah, and the mass shootings, there was one white person. Mass shootings used to be a white person crime, but now it's becoming racially diverse, we could say.
Well, yeah, that's just racially diverse. Aye, they. I have I've got a clip, you know. Holger just sent a text about a gas could hit $6.20 a gallon on average. I saw today that gas was $0.59 a gallon, and it's just incredible what we're seeing today. Honestly, it's gotten way out of hand, and you know, there's no end in sight, and the excuses that are coming out of this administration, this failed administration, it's quite interesting. And before I do, I want to say hello to Sue from New Mexico. She's up on the switchboard, and somebody else up on the switchboard, and I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Ducky Northwest, good to see you. And a special shout-out to G-Ski of G-Ski and Dave Airwaves America. G-Ski is in the chat room. It's great to see you, G. And really hope you're doing well. It's good to hear you're doing well today. And I know you put your show on hiatus for a little bit, so we're going to keep you in our thoughts and prayers, G. So G-Ski's in the house if you want to chat with him. Golf Dogs HOV Radio. Hank Jones with Poly Sports, and you can check out Hank Jones right here on Global Patriot Radio on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Check the archives on BTR. He had a show. He did a stand-in show for Andrew on Friday, this past Friday, so check out his show. You got iGuy. Good to see you, iGuy. His Rangers are doing well. They beat Carolina. I guess it was 3-1 after getting shut out the night before. And you know, something's bizarre. I got to say this, and I know it's on sports again, Al, but something's bizarre. How does the Carolina Panthers get away with not selling tickets to the New York Ranger fans who want to come down from New York? You know, the NHL should absolutely drop the hammer on the Carolina Panthers organization for shutting out the New York Ranger fans from coming down and traveling down to watch your team play. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about discrimination? Here you have empty seats in the stadium, okay, where the Carolina Panthers are taking on the New York Rangers, and the cowardly Carolina Panthers organization decides not to sell tickets to the New York Ranger fans. Well, you know what? The Rangers spanked them last night. Let's hope that the Rangers take this series and move on to the Stanley Cup, the freaking cowards. And oh, Boyd, Baked Alaska, nice to see you, Boyd. Welcome. So
yeah, I heard that story. I've never heard of that happening ever in my life.
Right?
Never.
How did they get away with that? I mean, you know, this is a first of all revenue stream. You don't like the New York fans? Well, that's too bad. Then get the hell out of the NHL. Go play in the IHL so you can get 16 fans a game. I mean, this is ridiculous. They should be fined. The Carolina Panthers should be fined for adopting that policy. Freaking cowards. And maybe they should change their colors to yellow.
Yeah, heavily fined. And then everyone who tried to buy a ticket should be getting some type of a money back. But if you tried to buy a ticket, who are you going to sue? Who do you sue, the Carolina Panthers, for not selling the ticket? I guess there would be a class action lawsuit. So if there's any attorneys out there, I think you got an airtight case.
I'm sorry.
Are you an attorney, Vito?
It's the Carolina. No, but I just stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night.
Then good enough. File the motion, counselor.
It's the Carolina. By the way, I've been corrected. It's not the Carolina Panthers. It's the Carolina Hurricanes. I got in trouble. It's the Carolina. It's the Florida Panthers. Is the
Panthers?
The
right.
Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. So my apologies. So the Carolina Hurricanes are a bunch of cowards, and they should just be called the Carolina Wind Gust. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe the NHL has not come out and publicly admonished the Carolina Hurricanes for this just stupid stance. I mean,
well, I'm surprised this story hasn't gotten as much traction as it should. You have to really look for it. If you're not a sports fan, you're never going to hear about it.
I want to thank my editors for correcting me.
So now we got the Florida Panthers playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, what city do the Florida Panthers hail from?
Miami.
Right. Now, wouldn't that be a Miami Panthers? Where'd they come up with Florida? They don't represent all of Florida. That's another thing that drives me crazy too.
The Miami Panthers. It just doesn't sound right.
Miami Illegals, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's not politically correct, so you can spank me down.
That's not correct.
Mr. Inclusion Police, Diversity and Inclusion Police, come and get me.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, they could be called, what, the Palatka Panthers or the – So that's too far north. The Palmetto Panthers. There you go. The Palmetto Panthers is what they could call them, right?
I like that. Or some Indian tribe down in South Florida, whoever that might be. I know they're down there because they have Indian casinos down in Miami.
Well,
I went to one.
Hey,
it was a real dump, huh?
They could be the Pecan Park Panthers.
The what?
Or the Perky Panthers. That's in Monroe County. The Perky Panthers. There you go.
Sounds kind
of
gay.
Do you play for? I play for the Perky Panthers.
Just doesn't have the ring of a professional hockey team.
No. No, it doesn't, does it?
No.
Oh, the Pinewood Panthers. There, it's in Miami-Dade. The Pinewood Panthers. Yeah. Okay. All right. So on a serious note, there was exchange at the U.S. Senate here at a Senate hearing. Senator Josh Hawley had an exchange with the Secretary of the Energy, and that would be Canadian former Governor Canadian Granholm. She's about as useless as a tits on a bull. She was bringing her standard Biden-Harris mantra and the blame Putin time for why gasoline at the pump is rising. And Senator Hawley was not having any of that. But unfortunately, you know, with the lefties, the leftists, the anti-Americans running the show in the United States Congress, Senator Hawley was not going to get much of an answer, especially from the evasive anti-American administration under the Biden-Harris. So here's a little bit of an exchange between Senator Josh Hawley and Secretary Granholm. The first part has to do with Kansas, and that wasn't Granholm. That was some other.
You know, we're very proud in the state of Missouri of the work that's done at the Kansas City National Security Campus to support the nation's nuclear enterprise. I just wonder if you can give me an update on the NNSA's efforts to ensure that the Kansas City campus has the capacity it's going to need, the additional capacity it's going to need to meet production requirements in the coming years.
Thank you, Senator Holly. We're also very proud of the Kansas City National Security Campus. And I'm pleased to report we're making good progress on expanding capacity and moving towards the purchase of facilities and land that could help us in the future make sure that we're right-sized at Kansas City.
Good, very good. Secretary Granholm, today in the state of Missouri, the average price of gasoline today, as of this morning, is $4.10. Average price of diesel is $5.18. And I'm sure you've seen the reporting this morning that now AAA is projecting that gas prices will hit a national average of $6 a gallon by the month of August. Is this acceptable to you?
No, it is not. And you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine and pulling essentially those barrels.
With all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. In January of 2021, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, that price was up over 30%, and it has been going up consistently since. What are you doing to reverse this administration's policies that are drawing down our own supply of energy in this country, that are throttling oil and gas production in the United States of America? What are you doing about it?
With respect, sir, it is not administration policies that have affected supply and demand.
How can you say that when the price of gas was up over 30% from January
to...
You answer my questions. And it's my time, Madam Secretary, so why don't you answer my question. From January to August, the price of gasoline was up over 30%. In my state alone, it has been a continuous upward tick since then. And here's what your president did when he first came to office. He immediately reentered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in ANWR. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. That accounts, by the way, for 25% of U.S. oil production. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed new regulations on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all just in the first few days. Are you telling me that's had no effect on our energy supply?
94% of the oil and gas executives that were surveyed by the Dallas Fed said that administration policies had nothing to do with the increase in the price of oil.
I'm not interested in opinions of these people. I'm interested in the facts.
Are
you telling me that these policies had no effect? Is that your testimony that these policies had no effect? Are you telling me, Madam Secretary, are you telling me under oath that these policies had no effect?
I'm telling you that 94% of the oil and gas industry...
I'm not interested in their opinion. I'm interested in the facts.
So, no, they did not. Ask
Vladimir Putin. That is a remarkable statement.
About the increase in demand and the decrease in supply from pulling Russian barrels of oil off the market, thanks to, rightly, the United States saying, we're not going to take Russian oil. Coming out of COVID...
So what explains the increase between January and August of 2021?
Coming out of COVID, there was an increase in demand because people were driving again. When there was no demand, the prices dropped. That is a basic law of economics. The prices dropped.
I have to say, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, your answers are insulting. And they are insulting to the people of Missouri who are looking for action. Now, you said 2 months ago your department was on war footing. What are you doing to bring down the price of gasoline, which has been going up consistently since you took office?
The price of gasoline is derived from the price of oil. The price of oil is at $110 a barrel.
What are you doing to decrease it?
On a global market, sir, if you could let me finish.
If you would answer my question.
I am answering your question, sir. Oil is traded on a global market. We are paying extremely high prices today, just as they are in Japan.
What are you doing to get it down?
Just as they are in Germany. Just as they are in South Africa.
What are you doing to get it down?
We are calling for an increase in supply. We are releasing a million barrels a day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to balance out
supply and demand. Who are you getting it calling for an increase in supply from?
It is the largest tool that we have to be able to do that.
Who are you calling for an increase in supply from?
Excuse me. Senator Hawley, your time's expired.
Could I get an answer to this question, Mr. Chairman? Who are you calling for an increase in supply from?
from our domestic oil and gas manufacturers, from international oil and gas manufacturers.
Even as you cancel their leases?
Senator Hawley, if you want to answer, you have to allow the Secretary to answer.
I said we have called repeatedly for increases in supply from domestic oil and gas manufacturers, from international oil and gas manufacturers. We want to increase supply, and that is why the President released an unprecedented amount from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and our international allies also released from their reserves to try to balance out supply and demand while the oil and gas companies increase supply, and the Energy Information Administration has projected that they will have increased in the United States about 1 million barrels a day by the end of this year.
If you enjoyed this video, hit like.
So here you have the Secretary of Energy, Secretary Granholm, who was formerly the governor of the failed governor of Michigan. But Granholm was sent to the Senate committee hearings to mimic the lies from the Biden-Harris regime and then blame Putin. And the senators were supposed to take that, blame Putin for $5 diesel fuel. It would cost the gasoline at $4.30 a gallon average. But then Senator Hawley challenged them and brought up facts. Like canceling the Keystone Pipeline, entering the Paris Green Scam Accord, halting ANWR leases. He continued to talk about how this administration was disruptive, and all Granholm had to say was international, and the reliance on international, and then releasing oil from the Strategic Oil Reserves, which is absolutely insane. It's a national security threat. And of course, Biden being the dumbest individual, his handlers, of course, wanted this to happen. But Senator Hawley outlined how the supply and demand are infected by Biden's poor policies, intentionally driving up gas prices, which has led to record inflation levels we haven't seen in 40 years. Secretary Granholm immediately went to a survey to save face. 94% surveyed in opinions. And then Canadian Granholm is the perfect chimpanzee to further the lies. And you see the globalized position of this fraudulent administration who has ceded U.S. energy policies to the global international community, relying on foreign sources of oil production for U.S. And as long as the United States is suffering along with Germany and Japan, the rest of Europe, and the global countries, it's exactly what the Biden-Harris regime wants. They are carrying out the globalizing of America's agenda. The United States should not have any advantage over other Western nations, including being energy independent. The United States citizens should suffer the same in the same manner as Japan and Germany are. And as a matter of fact, the rest of the world, including paying dearly at the pump. The Biden-Harris regime will do all they can to disrupt the free flow of oil in America. They'll blame Putin, which they continually do, and they give the appearance that they care. And, you know, Al, how convenient is it that they talk about, Granholm talks about, hey, you know, we're coming out of a pandemic, and the consumption was down, really. So how come gasoline was at $1.90 a gallon when 3.2% of the American people there was 3.2% unemployment, the economy was roaring. We had unprecedented employment in the United States where people were working. That meant people were driving. That meant people were taking their cars. That meant people were flying. That meant people were traveling. That meant people were traveling globally. And gas was at $1.90 a gallon as an average. On a national average, it was $2.05. If you resided in the South, in South Carolina, it was like $1.65 a gallon. Down in Florida, it was $1.90 to $1.95 a gallon. It was $1.89 in some places. And yet America was at full employment prior to the pandemic. How do you answer that when President Trump took us from energy dependence to energy independence, and he wasn't talking about having the international community ramp up the production of oil? That would be OPEC, Russia, and Venezuela, and Iran, by the way. And we weren't relying upon those foreign sources of oil. As a matter of fact, as a result of President Trump, prior to the pandemic, as a result of President Trump's vision of energy independence for America, you had a price war where Russia was like 12 months away from bankrupting their oil production programs. The Saudis were going crazy because OPEC was reeling as a result of what, $20? There was a net $0 cost of oil thanks to President Trump and energy independence, and this was prior to the pandemic. I mean, these people, you tell us about supply and demand. You're an individual who understands supply and demand. So what does it mean when you have a president, okay, who infects the supply and demand, such as halting the Anwar leases, entering the Paris Scam Accord, okay, where now we're going to adhere to the globalization of this green scam, and Americans are going to pay dearly. So you tell us about how does supply and demand affect the prices of a commodity such as oil?
Well, how it came about is that the second and final presidential debate, President Biden told the Americans he plans on transitioning America out of the oil industry. President Trump asked him, not the media, but not during the debate, but the Trump asked, he said, "Biden, would you close down the oil industry?" Biden replied, "I would transition from the oil industry, yes," close quote. The moderator asked, "Why would you do that?" Biden elaborated, "Because the oil industry pollutes significantly." Biden went on to say he would transition out of the oil industry by eliminating subsidies for oil companies, which he did, which would lead to catastrophic job losses for American workers and invest in renewable energy companies. Think about Solyndra, which he is doing. He has said that he wants to bring in renewable energy and electric vehicles, and there's no better way to achieve that than through high energy prices. He immediately, upon becoming president, stopped all fracking. He closed down all pipelines, including the XL pipeline, and all productive leases were shut down, even though he said that they're opening up drilling leases. There's thousands upon thousands of leases that are available, but the most productive are not opened up. This is exactly what President Biden wanted to do. He telegraphed he was going to do it. He told the world he was going to do it, and he is doing it because he is a Marxist. A Marxist wants to weaken the United States of America in every sector, including the energy sector, primarily because that's our lifeblood of how America and it grows, is on the price of oil and the movement and shipment of goods across this great country, either by air, sea, or land. That's why this is happening.
And isn't it convenient that this administration, who was attempting to utilize the pandemic as a means of blaming for the rising cost of oil, blaming it on the higher consumption, okay, isn't it convenient that now the Putin issue comes up? When America was not dependent upon Russia for oil, Russia's oil had no impact, zero impact on America. And how we knew that was when Russia and Saudis got into it, what happened? Russia and Saudis got into the whole oil issue, and Trump was bankrupting those two organizations as a result of driving down the price of oil. And the United States, the consumers in the United States, were paying, what, $1.85, $2.05 a gallon on the average. That was over half less of what we're being charged. And now we're being told, and we're being sold a bill of goods, a lie that's furthered by the Secretary of Energy, that as a result of the Putin war, we're paying higher prices. Well, we weren't buying oil under the Trump administration from Russia. So how could that be?
It's a big lie, because the United States of America during the Trump administration was a net producer of oil and natural gas. That's why the prices were so low. And
that's
what was bankrupting the Saudi Arabians and the Russians. And the Russian oil is inferior to ours, because crude oil, when it comes out of the ground, is of different grades. Some is cleaner, some is better, some is worse. Russian oil is dirty. It's dirty oil. The only people that are buying it up are the Europeans, because they have nowhere else to go. But we were net producers of oil and selling to the world. We were energy independent. Think about that. We were energy independent within the course of a year, and think kudos to Holly for pointing out her lies. And she was just she was a great liar. That woman in your clip.
That was Jennifer Granholm, the Secretary of the Energy. I think someone else wants to talk about the energy, and then we got Holger on the line. So hold on a second, Holger. I think someone else had their hand up concerning energy.
I got energy for that. Bring them on.
217, how you doing? Welcome to
Pretty
the
good,
Global Patriot Radio.
Pretty good, sir. How about yourself?
All right. What's up?
Hey, now.
I was just going to talk about the first thing that Biden did was shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, and then, not even a month later, he opened up Nord Stream 2, which is a gas pipeline from Qatar that was controlled by the Russians to export oil all over Europe.
And
that
is correct.
That you're absolutely correct.
Yes, sir. But I don't know. But us allowing that to happen, I don't know. The first thing Biden did was shut down our ability to use our own oil from Canada, because that's what they're talking about now. Oh, we can't get it from Russia anymore? Well, let's go talk to the Iranians and the Venezuelans. The crude oil that the Venezuelans can actually offer us is the same stuff we can get from Canadians. But we don't have Keystone XL to transport that oil. You know what I mean?
Yep. So if you wanted to destroy the energy market, how would you do it? If your goal was to shut down the energy market, what would you do, Mr. President?
Well, the better question is, if you want to make sure that your family makes the most money and has the most influence and not giving a crap about anybody else, including your own countrymen, your own neighbors,
mm-hmm.
how would you act? He's doing it right now.
Exactly.
That's correct. That is correct. What's your name?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm Josh.
Oh, hey, Josh. Hey, great call and great point. You have Biden supporting the Russians and enabling the Russians in Europe and Qatar, and he's strangleholding the United States of America, and we're paying it at the pump, aren't we? $4.59, $5. Now we're talking about $6 a gallon in the summertime. Just not right.
Well, I just paid the other day I just paid $93 for 18 gallons of gas. Did you hear what Biden just said? If the Chinese try to take over Taiwan, are you going to respond militarily? And he did the old man who has no idea what he's talking about thing. He's like, yeah, of course we will. But we support the one China policy.
Yeah, he said the right thing, and then they walked it back. We're going to get into that a little bit more. His gaffe was the right answer, so go figure. And then they walk it back. So,
well, Josh, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it, man. They got another call to take.
Yes, sir.
All right, have a great week.
Care. Thank you.
All right, call back. So long.
Absolutely spot on. You know,
and you've got
– he does. And you've got, you've got Biden who's – who's really – well, you know what it is? It is you have to erase all of Trump's policies, everything, including energy, and the Americans are going to pay dearly for it, and we are paying dearly for it. Our transportation sources are paying dearly for it. And so, what do we expect? We have a Marxist, we have an anti-American, and an anti-constitutionalist who's in the White House, and when you're anointed – and you're installed in a position that you were never qualified for, and it shows it well, what can you expect, right? But what we can expect now is we have...
The Viking.
We have the Viking. Good evening, soldier.
Welcome.
Good evening,
Welcome.
Guys.
How are
you? You guys are... As Movin would say, you guys are on fire tonight.
We're trying.
Great show.
And then you get
Josh calls in and hits it out of the park, for God's sakes.
Hey, I tell
you. Before I get into why I wanted to call, I just want to say, he made a point there that explains why. Have you ever seen a dog chase its tail? You know? goes whipping around in a circle.
Entertaining.
You know, that's how I feel I am right now as a conservative in this country. I'm just chasing this tail around because I can't figure out what the hell these people are doing. You know, I'm thinking, you know, Joe Biden, you know, nixed the Keystone and all the oil leases and all that ANWR stuff and all that. He did that just to be out of spite against Donald Trump, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just reversed everything Trump did, you know. And, but then all of a sudden I start looking at this thing and I'm thinking, well, you know, he's literally trying to crash the energy supply in this country and the energy pricing. So then I figure I got to figure it out. So, quit chasing the tail. And then Josh calls up and says, well, you know, if he approves the Russian pipeline, you know, who else is going to benefit from that financially other than him? So, I mean, that's part of the reason I think these guys have been so successful in manipulating us is because we can't figure out what the hell the motive is. But
I gotta
blame my call. You can blame me calling in on your good friend and mine, Smokey in Texas, because Smokey and me go back, and there's one person in this country over all these years who we want to see sitting in a supermax federal prison cell more than anybody. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Actually, might want to see them doing even worse punishment than that, but I'll leave it at that. There's a long list of people. You know, you think of Hillary, and you think of Pelosi, and you think of Obama, and you think of all kinds of people. But with Smokey and me, there's a woman who we want in that cell more than anyone, and that is Lois Lerner. Because that bitch tried on her own, basically, to destroy the conservative movement in this country. When she went after the Tea Party and basically saw in her own eyes that she was God and holy executioner in determining what the mindset of the American people should be, she decided to take her power at the IRS and punish Americans left and right, okay? And then the pussy that she is, she just quits. When the heat started to build a little bit around her, she just quits and resigns. Okay? So I haven't thought about Lois for maybe 6-7 months. Smokey sends me this story. I don't know if you saw this story or not, but I'll read the first two paragraphs of this story. From back, the story's back from a few years ago, but it says, former IRS executive Lois Lerner told a federal court last week that members of her family, including young children, face death threats and real risk of physical harm if her explanation of the Tea Party targeting scandal becomes public. Okay? So it's like she never goes away. And the reason I bring it up, Vito and Al, is this, is I think this is one of the most critical pieces on how we approach the threats that we have in this country from the left, is we never make these people pay for what they do. You remember when Harry Reid made up this cock and bull story about somebody came into his office and said that Mitt Romney had never paid federal tax?
Right.
Okay. Do you remember? Obviously, it was total Harry blowing shit smoke out of his ass. Made the whole thing up just to increase the pressure on Romney to release his returns and so forth. But did Harry Reid ever get in trouble for just making up a lie?
No, that I can recall.
No. So bottom line is, you know, I've seen this so many times that the one thing that Donald Trump did is he called these people out. When they came after him, He didn't try to maneuver around it. He didn't try to, you know, whitewash this. He didn't try and spin this and stuff. He just went back to them for their jugular. Mm-hmm. He, you know, it's like, okay, you want to take me on? All right, here we go. We're going to rumble. And that's what, you know, it's kind of like the story you just started the show off with was with this clown, this Tim Anderson clown. I don't know if you read it or not, but they actually suspended the Yankee guy for a game.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson got suspended for
he got
for
suspended
saying, hey,
for
Jackie.
A game for calling the guy Jackie. Now the point being is not just New York Yankee fans, but every baseball fan in America should boo the motherfucking Tim Anderson out of the ballpark every time he gets up to the plate. He should be humiliated to the point where he quits the stupid game. I mean, I'm at this point where you just can't take it any longer. Jussie Smollett should be in a prison cell right now instead of walking around free. People are at the end of their ropes because of what these people get away with. They get away with lies. They get away with accusations. They get away with this woke bullshit, with this cancel culture and all that kind of stuff, and they never pay the price. When the people broke the news about Kavanaugh 30 years ago, some sort of sexual... Name one senator, one Democrat senator that paid any kind of price for bringing all that stuff to Washington, D.C. against Justice Kavanaugh. Not a single senator paid a price.
Nope.
And that's the problem with this country right now. People can absolutely make any accusation they want. They can do anything they want and never pay a cost. I think that's where we have to, you know. Bottom line is, it's got to be put out there by enough people that if you're going to open your big mouth and you're going to lie to the American people and you're going to try and manipulate the way people are motivated to vote in this country or try and restrict their free speech, if you want to do that, go right ahead. But there will be a price to pay. You will not get to do a Lois Lerner and just slink off into the dark shadows and hide from everybody that you fucked over. There's a price that you're going to pay. And if enough people get that into their minds, there's going to be less people that are going to be willing to take the risk. There's going to be less reporters that are going to be willing to float a fake Russian dossier story out there. You know, even though Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, you know, leaked it to the press saying, hey, you better spread this around because this is what happened in the election. There's got to be a point where those reporters are like going, okay, if I break this news and it's really not true, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? It's like children. It's like raising kids. If your kids see no chance of any consequences, why the hell would they adhere to a curfew?
That's right.
So, anyway, that's my little venting.
I think you and Smoke hit the nail on the head. The thing that I would challenge with regards to Lois Lerner, this is not something she did by herself. This is something that was instructed by the executive branch of government, i.e., Barack Hussein Sator Obama. Barack Hussein Sator Obama made it quite clear that he was going after his political enemies. He sicked the IRS on James Rosen and his family, and James Rosen at the time was a Fox News reporter. And he went after James Rosen and the family using the IRS, and then went after the Tea Party using the IRS. Lois Lerner was the fall person, and I'm sure the pressure got to her where she couldn't take it anymore, and she just simply walked away. Were there any consequences from the Obama-Biden administration against Lois Lerner? No. So that tells me that the IRS was doing exactly what was being instructed by the Obama administration. Obama had no regards for the United States Constitution. And then Trump comes in, and Trump challenges everybody. That, hey, did you ever hear that, you know, that Stormy Daniels thing, you know, where Trump was said to have a relationship with this whore, and he paid her, and this guy pays this whore with a check? Why do you want to pay with a check? He's, well, I want a paper trail because the story wasn't true. Now, did you hear that it turns out that Stormy Daniels recanted that story that was concocted in order to smear Trump? No one's ever talked about that. As a matter of fact, the DNC state media never reported or hardly ever reported the fact that Stormy Daniels made up that whole entire story. She made it up. And Trump was right to pay her with a check, not cash, because he wanted a paper trail. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm having an affair and I'm paying by check to have a paper trail so that my wife will find out, she's going to chop my nuts off, okay, and then take everything I have. And I wouldn't be on Monday nights anymore, okay? So this is all this is incredible what we're seeing happening today, and you're right. There are no consequences when the Democrat Communist Party has a mission and undertakes this mission. I have a clip from Maria Bartiromo is having a conversation with Kash Patel with regards to the Durham report. You want to talk about, and you know what? This is a perfect segue because Hillary Rodham Clinton, there have been no consequences for her. She lied about Benghazi. Susan Rice lied about Benghazi. Barack Hussein Satoru Obama lied about Benghazi, and they did nothing. Hillary Rodham Clinton looked at Pat Smith right in the eyes, and she fucking lied to her, and there are no consequences. As you said, Harry Reid lied about Mitt Romney, and there were no consequences. And it's all of a sudden the Democrat Party are choir people until now the Archbishop of the San Francisco Diocese says, wait a minute, Nancy Pelosi, you can't use this as a beard anymore with your pro-abortion stance. I was stunned. I think it's newsworthy. Now, what happens with Hillary Rodham Clinton, things are starting to unfold. People are starting to talk with regards to what happened in 2016. And then why is it important? Because it was all manufactured. And as you said, President Trump wasn't just going to slap you. He was going to punch you right in the gut because he wasn't going to stand there and take your lies. And it didn't matter what it cost him. And it cost him the presidency ultimately because they lied, cheated, and stole the election from him. But you know what? He didn't care, does he? He's freaking. He. If you slap him, he's gonna punch you back. And that's what we liked. You and I love that part of it. And the fact is, we have a bunch of pussies in Washington D.C. who don't push back because they're all part of one party system.
Exactly. And I'm gonna get off the phone here, but I just want to present this to you. Just because you laid it out really well there, but I think the trap that we fall into is this, Vito. The logic that you portrayed there with Lois Lerner and the fact that she was just the middle gal, and it was actually originating from Obama and stuff. That's the logic and the rationality that us conservatives suffer from. Because we want to get the top dog and so forth. Well, the problem is you can never get the top dog. You can't get Obama.
Correct.
We want to go after Hillary Clinton. You can't get Hillary Clinton. When, you know, sometimes you got to play like your enemy does, okay? When the Democrats decided to go after Donald Trump, they didn't go after Donald Trump to start out with. They went to all these peons around him. They took Manafort down. They took Roger Stone down. They scared the bejesus out of everyone in that administration or tied to that administration. So I'm saying, okay, instead of everybody hoping and praying that we finally get to put Hillary Clinton in jail, you go after Cheryl Mills. You don't give her immunity like we did. You go after Cheryl Mills, her aide, who had all her shit on her laptop and destroyed it, and you put the bitch in prison. You don't think that's not going to send a shock signal to old Hillary? You don't think she's going to get a little, you know, be ordering extra stolies after that news that Cheryl Mills is in an orange jumpsuit in Denver? You know, that's my point is we have to start taking people out. All right? Thanks for letting me call in, boys.
And one more point on that. And here's the difference between Paul Manafort, Lieutenant Colonel Michael, oh, my God, I forgot his last name. Michael
Flynn.
I forgot his name. Flynn, thank you.
Flynn.
Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn. And the difference between Michael Flynn and the Democrat underlings is if there was anything wrong, they would have sung. They didn't sing. They didn't sing.
Yep.
Now you've got the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign people. They're singing. And
yep.
All of a sudden that song is not good. So you're right. You go after the underlings and you go hard after them. You're doing 30 years. You're doing 40 years. You're going to prison for a lifetime. Now let's see if it's worth it, you know, covering for Hillary Rodham Clinton. So thank you for the call.
You bet. All right, guys. Catch you later.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks.
Ciao.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, the whole Sussman case, it's barely getting any print media, much less on the news. It's almost like a non-event, and the trial is going on now. There have been Sussman has lied. It's been proven that he lied and that it was all manufactured. And nothing. There's no interest in the story, it seems.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, I will say this. On Thursday at www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, Bigfoot had several stories concerning this and how the 2016 campaign manager is starting to sing in that Sussman trial. And then yesterday, Sunday morning, on Maria Bartiromo, she was speaking with Akash Patel with regards to the Dunham update and the Dunham story. So here's a 5-minute clip with Maria Bartiromo and Akash Patel.
Welcome back. Well, witness testimony continues this upcoming week in the trial of Clinton campaign lawyer Michael Sussman, who is being charged with lying to the FBI. When he told then FBI General Counsel James Baker he had dirt on Trump but was giving it to the FBI as a concerned citizen, not on behalf of any one client, such as Hillary Clinton. Joining me right now is former Department of Defense Chief of Staff. He is former federal prosecutor and the man who worked with Devin Nunes to blow open this case and prove Hillary Clinton and her team orchestrated and paid to get made-up dirt on her opponent, Donald Trump, in 2016, and then got federal agencies such as the FBI and the media to run with it before the 2016 presidential campaign and election. Akash Patel is back with us. He is the author of the new children's book, The Plot Against the King, explaining all of this for children as well. Akash, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks very much for being here. Congrats on the book. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, give us your sense of what you learned, what we learned in that trial room in D.C. last week.
Thanks so much for having me, Maria. And the best way to do this is to run through John Durham's prosecutions. Let's talk about the three star witnesses, Robbie Mook, Mark Elias, and the FBI's James Baker. So what did we do? What did we learn? So James Baker, the FBI general counsel, whom Michael Sussman has been charged to lying to about whether or not he was representing anyone when he was shoveling the dirt, testified under oath that he is, quote, 100% confident that Michael Sussman did not say he was there for a client, thus gutting his defense. Critical testimony from the witness himself. And if that wasn't enough, remember, Maria, John Durham has the interrogation transcripts from my deposition of Michael Sussman 4 years ago when I was running the Russiagate investigation, where I asked him under oath, did you go to the FBI for a client? And he said yes. So it's not just a witness case, it's a paper case. And then you have Michael Sussman's own text message on the evening before he went to see James Baker, a text message from Sussman to Baker, where he himself explicitly says, I'm coming to you as a patriot, as a good Samaritan. And let's move on to the testimony of now Mark Elias, his law partner at Perkins Coie, who funneled all the money from the Hillary Clinton campaign to Fusion GPS and the Alpha Bank server nonsense. He comes in and guts Sussman's defense. He says, we were working together, and of course, the Hillary Clinton campaign was our client. And then there's the documentation, the emails and the billing that shows that Michael Sussman was billing the Hillary Clinton campaign for all the work related to Alpha Bank. And if that wasn't enough, you have the FBI's tech expert come in. I think his name was Hillman. Come in and say, the FBI knew one day after we received this information about Alpha Bank and the purported connection to Trump Tower that it was complete garbage. That is some pretty powerful testimony and documents from John Durham.
Well, I want to talk about the Scott Hellman, the FBI cyber analyst, statement at the trial, because what Scott Hellman, and he is the FBI cyber analyst, testified was just as you just said, he knew right away that the data did not suggest any covert communications between Trump and Russia. He added that he wondered if the person who put together the data was suffering from a mental disability. So talk about the FBI for a moment, because we know that there are two parts to this. On the one hand, it's the Alpha Bank nonsense that there was the communication between Trump and the Kremlin between this via this Alpha Bank server. But on the other hand, it's also the Igor Danchenko and the Steele dossier. So we know that in January 2017, the FBI interviewed Danchenko. He told them the Steele dossier was garbage. We made it up. We were having beers, joking around with friends. The Alpha Bank, he knew in September 2016. So you got the Danchenko meeting with the FBI in January 17, just as Trump was taking office. And right before the election, September 2016, the FBI says, this can't be true. So talk about the FBI's culpability here, because we've been focused on the Clinton campaign, but the FBI wasn't fooled into doing an investigation of Trump, was it?
No, and that's why we've called them corrupt cops. Look, me as a former federal prosecutor, a guy who worked on FISAs, let's remind our audience of the timeline. This is the same time in the end of 2016 when the corrupt Clintons bring their dirty information to corrupt FBI agents who lie to a federal judge about the Steele dossier, about the Alpha Bank server nonsense, to illegally surveil their political opponent. And now you have the FBI agent who did the technical analysis shredding the likes of Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page, the corrupt FBI trio that hatched this entire conspiracy on behalf of the Clinton campaign because they didn't like Donald Trump. And that's not my words, that's their words that we've seen publicly. So this FBI agent is taking on the FBI's former leadership to say, you know, there are still good cops here. We knew this information. We did the work on the ground level, but it looks like the political leadership of the FBI politicized national security and put their personal interests above what the law requires. And that's why the FBI's confidence has been shattered in the public.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News.
You know, that was very, very telling. And, it, you know, Maria Bartiromo has been the only individual who's really been on this whole scam by Hillary Rodham Clinton to go after her political opponent. And the fact that $25 million plus dollars of U.S. taxpayer money was spent on a phony story that now the DNC state media is suppressing is unconscionable, because now it's not about, as Holger said, it's not about the lies and the rule of law, because the rule of law means nothing to the Democrat Communist Party. The rule of law is just a slogan. It's a campaign slogan, and it's a slogan by the Democrat Party to make you think they care. And the fact is there are three players, but there are actually six players. You have Mark Elias, James Baker, Robbie Mook, okay, Michael Sussman, that's four. And then you've got three players inside the FBI. And I like the way they define the FBI. It's the FBI political leadership. They're not talking about the FBI field worker, because the FBI field workers actually knew that this was a scam. But the political machine inside the FBI that was led by Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page all had one thing in mind, and that was to serve Barack Hussein, Tatoro Obama, and the Democrat National Committee to make sure that they unseat Donald Trump. Hillary Rodham Clinton was the heir apparent to Barack Hussein, Tatoro Obama. I know this is all news. The problem is that no one has ever been charged and should be charged. Hillary Clinton should be charged, okay, for obstruction of justice. She should be charged with treason for tampering with an election. The fact is that Hillary Rodham Clinton, she undermined the 2016 Democrat presidential primaries, and she cheated, and she got caught cheating when she, in fact, had her and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was then the president, that the chairwoman, the chairman, excuse me, of the Democrat National Committee were caught cheating, okay, in fixing the Democrat primary against Barney Fife Sanders, okay? And then they took it a step further, and they created this phony steel dossier. We had 4 years of Russian collusion. We had $30 million by a Mueller investigation that cost taxpayers. And all they did was each and every day, as Larry Elder stated, every day they assaulted, they assailed, and they maligned Donald Trump every day of his presidency. They sought to unseat him as candidate Trump. Then they sought to unseat him as president-elect Trump, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, and they said that they had an out. They had a smoking gun that they created, and they created it. And now it turns out that Hillary Rotten Clinton was indeed behind the Russian collusion, the phony Alpha Bank server scandal that they created. You know, this is the United States of America. We have a free and fair election, at least we used to. Why is the Democrat Party so intent on fixing elections and bringing down bringing down people who are pro-American? Is Washington, D.C. that lost? Is it that sordid? Is it that corrupt that these people now are looking at a self-interest? How in the world can the Michael Sussmans and Robbie Mucks and Hillary Clintons and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, Andy McCabe still walk this earth? How can they do that? You know, it's not naivete. The United States of America, the American people are pissed now. We have a person who was installed as president of the United States who went in the 1990s, the Democrat Party, when they were simply left-wing liberals, okay, when they were progressives, knew that Joe Biden was not up to the job of president of the United States. He couldn't even gather the nomination because he was a liar and a cheat. And he proved that. And it proved it in 1992. They proved it when he was caught plagiarizing. Democrat system where they had a little bit of a conscience, okay? They knew that Joe Biden wasn't fit to be the president of the United States. And then in 2020, suddenly this guy comes out of nowhere, sits in his basement, and now we are feeling, we the people are feeling the effects of an anti-constitutionalist, of an anti-American, who's sitting in the White House in his fucking basement, doesn't even know what day it is, and they send this moron out to Asia, and he says things that are even worse off than we could ever imagine. You know, he incited and inflamed the situation in Russia, enticing Putin to invade Ukraine, and now the moron is talking about China invading Taiwan and the United States will go to war with China. What kind of incompetence does that? And so much so that his own handlers have to walk back because Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth. When, in fact, is someone going to pay on the Democrat side? Is it now where Robbie Mook is singing like a canary? Michael Sussman now is facing real time because there's a contradiction in his testimony where he's caught with Khan Patel giving a statement that is converse to what he said, was adverse to what he said to the FBI under oath. He was coming to you as a concerned, as a good Samaritan, as a patriot. He's not a patriot. He's nothing but a fucking liar. And he's a show for Hillary Rotten Clinton. So now put the asshole behind jail. Take his license and put him in jail for 20 years for lying to the FBI. That's right. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she never paid the price. All that little midget did was step down from being chairman of the DNC, and she still holds on to her seat. She's making $175,000 a year of taxpayer money. And she was found to have cheated. She's the one, she helped rig the Democrat national primary election, a presidential election. Did she pay for it? Has she paid for her national security scandal out with the Anwar brothers? Huh? Has she paid for that? She hasn't paid for that. How is it that the Democrat Party can still rally around their own liars and their cheats, and the American people are paying dearly? God,
they're Marxist and they want a revolution. That's why. The DOJ's in their pocket. They're not enforcing the law. And the local DAs are not enforcing, going after these lawbreakers. So they're getting a free pass, all in the advancement of Marxism in the hopes of a future revolution, because you have the sons and daughters of the original 60s communists are now holding office and in power. And so this is what's happening. They're winning. Marxism is winning. Our republic, our freedom, our rule of law, our constitution is getting whittled down by a thousand cuts day after day after day.
That it is. That it is. And that's the sad part of the whole thing. You know, the state media, the DNC state media, has not reported on this finding. Oh, excuse me. I stand corrected. Let me read you this tweet, okay? Breaking news by the Washington Post, okay? The Washington Post is part of the DNC state media, okay? Here's what they had to say. The Washington Post headline was, in a tweet, there's no evidence Hillary Clinton triggered the Russia probe. Hillary Clinton approved the dissemination of the Trump Alpha Bank hoax. Huh? I mean, Hillary Clinton approved the Trump Alpha Bank hoax, but the Washington Post stated there's no evidence. That's their headline today. There's no evidence Hillary Clinton triggered the Russian probe. Harmit D. K. Dillon had a response to that tweet, and her tweet was, LOL, laugh out loud. No evidence other than a sworn eyewitness with direct knowledge of the facts. And she's right. Robbie Mook had disputed that very thing. He said that Hillary Clinton had direct knowledge and approved the Alpha Bank service story.
Hey, you want to take a phone call? We got Boyd on the line. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Baked Alaska, Mama Mia. How you
hey,
doing?
Hey. holy cannolis there. Hey, before I get into my into what I wanted to talk about, I first thing I want to say is I'm going to be opening up a GoFundMe page for Holger, because after that rant he was on, I know he needs a new floor for where he was pacing, probably in his kitchen.
All right, what's on your mind, Boyd?
Yeah, you know, if, you know, we all want what we want when we want it, and we want all these clowns to go down. We're seeing the dominoes starting to fall. Well, not starting to fall. We're seeing the first domino wiggle right now.
Mm-hmm.
With this Durham case. If Durham wins this case in front of the jury, the pro-Hillary Clinton jury, the dominoes will start to fall. If he doesn't, then, you know, everything stays the same. Right now, it's the pro-Hillary jury in the courtroom right now that is what we have to get by with this. And if we get by with this, with the pro-Hillary jury, dominoes are going to fall. And hopefully, Hillary Clinton will be good to her word, saying that if I go down, half of Washington, D.C. is going to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can pray for right now and stuff. So, you know, I'm pushing for John Durham, and I'm liking to see what all is singing out there right now. I heard a blip that Oklahoma, Aberdeen, is cooperating with Durham. If that's going to be the if that's the case, we could have some real fun with all of this. Or
yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath on it.
Yeah, or I'm going to have to go back to the concession stand and get some more popcorn.
Well, you know, there's no doubt that we understand what's going on, and you know, we are hoping for something to happen. But the whole thing right now is the corruption aspect of it, and all we were told for 4 years is that Donald Trump was mentally unstable. He was insane. He was this. He was that. And it turns out he was anything but mentally unstable. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to be an American, how to laud America, how to build America. And that was diametrically opposed to what the Democrat Party, what the establishment, what the cabal, what the deep state, whatever you want to call it, the swamp. That's what the swamp was opposed to, because the swamp includes both sides of the political aisle. And sadly, you know, for 4 years we had to sit there and endure this nonsense, and now we have an dementia-riddled individual who has to be reined in, and you have to sequester this man to the basement because he has diarrhea of the mouth, and he says mm-hmm. stupid things that can inflame national security issues like he's done. And the other part of it is, you know, you have Biden stating that he wants to go ahead and talk to Kim Jong-un. I wouldn't want this guy to talk to Kim Jong-un. You know, President Trump, you know, did something where he opened that door and still gets no respect for 52 remains of Korean War soldiers, American Korean War soldiers being brought back to the United States. And now we're going to send Biden out to possibly talk to another dictator, Kim Jong-un? Give me a break. You know, we understand the situation in Washington, D.C. We understand how corrupt it is. Now we want action, and the action is simple. And as Holger said, go after the underlings and make it really, really difficult on them. Let them start singing like Robbie Mook did when he stated that Hillary Rodham Clinton knew exactly what was happening, and she approved the Alpha Bank narrative, the phony Alpha Bank narrative. Now you start running with that, okay? And put that bitch behind bars. Send her to Gitmo and throw away the fucking key.
Well, I agree with you, but you know, we've got to do it by you know, little steps right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully with the Sussman trial, when it's over, if there's a conviction. Now we're going to have to be running to keep up with the falling dominoes.
If Sussman stays alive, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. But, if Sussman suddenly dies by Clinton's side, mm-hmm. you know, then we've got another murder to be able to stick to her. And you don't think that they're watching him real close. But, you know, the other thing is that you don't want to put Biden out there on the stage where he could do his normal gaffes and stuff. Because, you know, I think Elon Musk had it really pegged when he says the real president of the United States is the person that programs the teleprompter.
Yes.
And I believe that person may be back to Obama or whoever was running Obama at the time. You know, but he's going to, you know, Joe is going to end up, I think, being a good thing for all of us because of his incompetency and his dementia. Because he's going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, at the right time, and it's going to be all over.
Or he's going to say the right thing at the right time, and then they're going to walk it back, like with Taiwan.
Ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to try to, but they won't be able to. Anyway.
Well, Boyd, thanks for the call, man. We got like 9 minutes left, and we'll keep an eye on this. It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and don't forget the GoFundMe page for Hold Your Floor. You know, boy, I could hear him stomping real hard on that bank. So,
yeah, him and Josh both. All right, man.
All right, bye.
Thanks, boys.
See you. Good call. Yeah. It's kind of like President Biden just dropped an Amber Heard turd right in the middle of negotiations with China.
Oh, my God. This is incredible. I mean, really, Al, it's what we're seeing. You can't make this stuff up. And you know, I'm surprised that they let the little Napoleon out of the White House, because you just don't know what he's going to say. And he's already made a catastrophic, you know, error with regards to China. I mean, and his own team is starting to, you know, is walking back his comments. I mean, that's how dangerous this man is.
Yeah, if I'm Xi, I hear that, I go, all right, we're going in, we're taking Taiwan, we'll call it, it's our territory, we just want it back, and we're taking it like the Russians are taking Ukraine back. Because they know now, and if I was Xi, I'd be secure in the belief that President Biden would not react.
Well, and the only thing that they can bank on is that bonehead Biden, you know, is making these idle threats again. And you know, who knows what he's going to say. And the fact now that more weakness has been projected by his administration walking back mm-hmm. his latest comments, his latest faux pas, is just another foreign policy failure. Afghanistan was the first big foreign policy failure. For a guy who's been in government for 50 years with absolutely zero accomplishments, it's no wonder that it's one misstep after another. You know, I'm surprised that they sent the bumbling fool out, you know, to Asia. They figured maybe getting him out of Washington, D.C. is a good thing. But then again, here we go, you know. And now, you know, now bumbling Biden wants to open up a meeting with a dialogue with North Korea fellow dictator Kim Jong-un. You know, why in the world would U.S. officials allow bonehead Biden to even attempt to gibberish, you know, with dictator Kim Jong-un after screwing up, you know, a simple, you know, press conference concerning China? All he had to do is keep his mouth shut. But this guy, he wants to be so important. He's wanted to be president his entire life, his political life, because he was a walking mouthpiece. He was nothing but a blowhard senator. And even the Democrats knew back in the late 80s and 90s that Biden was not competent enough to handle the job. And let alone, you know, 30 years later, he's even worse. Oh, my
well,
God.
Kim Jong-un,
he screwed up.
Yeah, well, Kim Jong-un is threatening to do a nuclear test, and he's already done several. And so, yeah, it's becoming a hot spot in North Korea right now.
Well, certainly. Who are they going to fear? I mean, you got communist China, led by Xi, who President Xi is not going to be a threat. President Xi is the one who is basically pulling Kim Jong-un's strings. And they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And what's Biden going to do? Nothing. But all Biden does, he continues to inflame situations. Mm-hmm. You called it. He was pushing Russia into invading Ukraine. And he pushed and he pushed and he pushed, okay, instead of trying to defuse the situation, okay, as a good, let's say, negotiator would. But you've got the fall of Afghanistan. Now you've got China. You have the strained relationships with Israel. Mexico, he screwed that entire southern border up. European nations don't trust the guy. Russia is done. Taiwan and Ukraine. I mean, this guy has been a walking disaster. I'm sorry, a shuffling disaster, which I know we got about five minutes left, but this – I I'm going to read this. I came across this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. The wicked man, a worthless person, a wicked man walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. And if that doesn't fit Joe Biden, I don't know what does.
Well, all I know is that our enemies are poised to attack if they're ever going to attack and cause problems for the United States of America, because they are sensing weakness like none other before. So this is very dangerous times, and we have a leader like Biden who is projecting weakness causes war. Strength causes peace, and weakness causes war.
I mean, he's making Carter look like Jimmy Carter look like a genius. I mean, this is how bad Joe Biden is.
Carter loved America, I believe. Clinton, as much as he was a Marxist, I still think he wanted the best for America, but Biden is a hardcore Marxist revolutionary. And these are very chilling times. Lots of ajna, as they say.
Yes. Hey, I agree with you. And you know what? Every day that goes by, you know, if you go back to I'll end with this. Go back to the pre-pandemic, pandemic issues. When the United States had what was perceived to be full unemployment at 3% unemployment, you had a full working force. You had people driving to work. You had people flying. Buses, trains were active. You had transportation that was bringing goods and services, goods all around the United States. You had the free flow of oil with America being energy independent, and we weren't reliant upon Russia. We weren't reliant upon Venezuela. We basically omitted Iran, and we weren't worried about Russia and the Saudis, and OPEC. And now the excuse is, now we have to do exactly what the international community. We have to feel the pain of Germany. We have to feel the pain that the Japs feel. No, we don't. We proved that we can be energy independent, okay? But this mindset of this globalization, this mindset of green scam, okay, the new God, the new religion that Biden is beholden to is absolutely insane. It will bankrupt America. It's bankrupting Americans. It's killing the American dream. And Biden's doing a good job of killing things, because that's what he does. Tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan stand with the Cross and the Crescent. Wednesday, Hank Jones at Poly Sports at 5:30. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Solithian Report. And Paul's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can go to Paul's website or go to Amazon.com and please purchase the book. Friday, Andrew Harrod is back with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Minister Simon Dachnik with the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the Cross of the Crescent, the Interfaith Dialogue Show. Please check out Eric's Interfaith Dialogue. If you want to understand about Islam and Christianity, the real Interfaith Dialogue, there's no punches pulled. You've got Eric has a great show. And Monday, Al and I will be back with 6 p.m. Eastern Time next week, which would be, next week is Memorial Day, so you guys be safe out there. And I want to say hello to G-Ski once again. He's in the chat room. I know he doesn't have a show right now on Fridays. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check her out on Blog Talk Radio, Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. with a great sidekick, Curtis Bennett, author Curtis Bennett. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. If you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. That's Joshua hosts that show. It's a great self-help show if you're looking for ways to enhance your diet and actually live a better life. Check out the Simone Nicole Show. Joshua does a great job. Thursday, Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Great show. She normally has three guests. Al and I will be back next Monday evening, folks, and we'll see what damage Bonehead Biden did this week on this ship, on this latest trip. So, Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us, and please be safe out there if you're aware of us around. Have a safe Memorial Day holiday.
And if you have some barbecues out there, have some extra ribs for me, because I'm going to have some ribs this weekend, man. Put them on the grill. I can't wait. And, of course, some meatballs, too. Ciao, everybody.
Yes, it was my way.
Great timing.
Well,
that went fast,
yeah.
That 2 hours.
Holy cow.
A lot of good calls.
They're already gone. Yeah.
Yep.
Josh, what a great call by Josh, man. I hope
Boyd
he calls back in the future. Then. Boyd,
Holder. Steam coming out of his ears. I like that. I like the angry Holder.
Yeah, and that's just it, Al. You know, no one's paying the price. You know, all we heard for 4 years of how bad Trump was and how corrupt he was, and yet what we're seeing is that Trump wasn't corrupt. The system in Washington, D.C. is corrupt, and it's really bad. Nancy Pelosi brought it to light when she tore up President Trump's State of the Union speech, which was absolutely disgusting and disgraceful. And now, you know, fast forward 2 years later, you have Nancy Pelosi making excuses for Joe Biden, when in fact it just tells you that this clique, this cabal in Washington, D.C. sticks together. And if you're not of the same mind, if you're not of that same big government mentality, you're not welcomed in Washington, D.C. By all means, you don't put the American people first. You're now putting the world first. And you know what, Secretary Granholm, she proved that in that heated exchange with Senator Hawley, where, you know, she said, well, the Germans and the Japanese are paying high prices too. That's, you know, I'm sorry, that's absolutely irrelevant. That is an absolute, that's a cop out. That is a weak excuse. The fact is that when Senator Hawley outlined those 6 points in which the cause of oil increased as a result of the speculation part of it, where Joe Biden was making the free flow of oil scarce. You know, that had a direct effect on the cost of oil. Well, oil's at $112 a barrel. That's why it's high. Oh, excuse me, that's not why it's high. You're actually taking the horse and putting it behind the cart and then saying, well, oil is $112 a barrel. That's why we're paying high gas prices. That's not the reason why. What caused it to go from $40 a barrel to $112 a barrel? What was that cause? And that entire raising, the increasing from $40 to $112 was why? It was all during the Biden-Harris administration. In 15 months, $80 a barrel. What? And it's not Putin, and it's not because of the pandemic. I mean,
but it's gaslighting. They're gaslighting
us. Exactly.
Believe what I tell you.
Yes,
not
they
what
are.
You see.
I'm surprised, man. I tell you, I was surprised at Hawley. And this Jennifer Granholm gave, but you know what? That's exactly what Biden wants. This is what his handle was put in place. They put her in place for that particular reason, because she's a great gaslighter. They put Pete Buttigieg in there because he's a great gaslighter. You know, this guy hasn't been held accountable for the supply chain issues in America as being Secretary of Transportation. Has he been held accountable? Hell no. And not only has he been held accountable, he goes on maternity leave during the most stressful time of supply chain issues, and he's not held accountable for it. And what was his answer? What was his flippant answer to the high gas prices? Well, just go out and buy an electric car. Fuck you, buy an electric car.
But he did buy
a
breastfeeding prosthetic for men.
Yeah. For men.
Who does that?
I don't. And then Mayorkas, you want to talk about another liar, a flat out liar. I didn't get a chance to play that clip, but Mayorkas,
He is the chief liar of this administration, aside from, well, I'm sorry, he's the assistant chief liar because Biden is the chief liar. This guy is bad. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing.
Well, it's easy to lie and be outrageous when the media doesn't report it. The media is supposed to be the watchdog of elected officials. And there's a day that it didn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, the media would report what's happening regardless. But now they've just become an apparatchik of the Democrat Marxists. So
they have. They are now the mouthpiece.
You got to hand it to our Marxist enemies. They are capable, and they are good, and they are kicking our ass. Because we have dope.
They
like,
are
like Rona Romney being the spokesperson for the GOP. God to help us. We're our own worst enemies.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's niece.
Oh God, she is so bad. You ever read her Twitters? I follow her Twitter page, and
I have. Yeah. Some of the tweets,
so
it's like, you can't believe. You just can't believe what comes out of her mouth. I mean.
Well, it's so dry. There's nothing. It's like an accountant spewing numbers. There's no emotional appeal to any of her tweets. She doesn't trigger anything. She's just boring. And I don't know. And she didn't back Trump and his tweets, who were fantastic.
No.
He was the best tweeter.
You sit there and you see how the manipulation by the media, you have the social media platform censoring anybody who's perceived to be a conservative or on the right wing. You have the fascist of Facebook censoring Senator Marsha Blackburn because she has the audacity to challenge the cross-dressing males who are competing in women's sports. You know, you have the WNBA who wants to honor women in sports and demands that you honor women in sports. And in the meantime, you have cross-dressing males who are perverting the system, and true biological females are being shoved aside, all in the names of this trans movement that is so bogus and it's bullshit. You know, and then we have an energy issue here in the United States, and it can't be addressed because, well, it's Putin, and it's okay. You know, then you have the DNC who has made sure that the left wing lodges their attacks on Fox News. Fox News? I mean, and then you have AT&T shutting down OAN News, taking it off of DirecTV. And there's no, like it's, let's just shut it down. And suddenly the three perceived news outlets that are that lean towards the right, which I'm not sure if Fox does anymore, like Fox News, you have OAN and Newsmax, you know, three versus the dozens of left-wing news outlets, including the state-sponsored media of the national, you know, communist radio station, NPR.
Yep.
I mean, there's no accountability anymore.
No, you're right. Good point.
And then we'll see what happens tomorrow. You know, the gloating by the left, if Trump loses one race, or Trump, if a Trump candidate loses one race, right away, oh, Trump's appeal. Oh, but, okay, so Trump won every race in Ohio. Trump-backed candidates won every race in Ohio, and the media is silent. But he loses one out of, in Pennsylvania, there was two races he lost out of 14. The two Trump candidates lost out of 14, and the media is going, oh, Trump candidate lost, and they're going crazy over it. It's like, really? I mean, this is how shallow you guys are?
Yeah, who won Pennsylvania? Who won Pennsylvania?
I don't know. There's still up in the air with Oz.
I'm against Oz, and I think Trump made a horrible choice with Oz. Mehmet Oz?
So do I. Yes,
he
I agree.
He's a jihadi in wolf sheep's clothing.
The other guy,
that guy's bad news, man. He is He is not a good guy. Says all the right things, but he's not a good guy.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so Trump picks what, 60 people and you know, 57 win and 3 don't. You know, I think it's pretty good. Yeah, and I know what he's doing. At least in my mind, it seems like he's trying to find people to actually affect change, so that if Trump does come back in, or somebody, or a Trump candidate comes back in, you know, they can actually affect change and start getting rid of these assholes that are in Washington D.C. These greedy individuals like the Pelosi's and mm-hmm. And the Schumer's, and oust them, get them out of Washington D.C.
Well, maybe Trump's like Sonny Bono. Sonny Bono got into politics because he was disgusted by the local government.
Yes.
Trump.
That's true.
Trump just went to the top. And maybe that's what drives him, because he doesn't need the money. I mean, he's taking a pay cut and a lot of abuse becoming president. So I think he just loves America, which is so good to see. That's why people gravitate to him. That's why there's 20,000 people when he speaks, and he goes out. Even today, he'll have a rally. There'll be thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And unlike Trump, they took out Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono took out Sonny Bono, I think. He hit a tree.
Expert skier, and he hits a tree.
Yeah.
Skiing by himself. Well, I remember seeing him about 8-9 months before he assumed room temperature. Matter of fact, I think it was his birthday, and he was unbelievable. What a speaker, and a guy who really, you know what, he came off aloof, and of course he had that persona for TV and, you know, for being an actor, but he was actually pretty versed on topics. I was kind of stunned about how well he was on topics, and he knew his mm-hmm. politics. He really did.
Well, he always played the clown to Cher. He was the clown.
Yeah.
To Cher. I mean, he got to bang Cher in her prime, which was what a lucky guy. But
right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was. Then that story he told about how he got into politics was hysterical. I mean, to this day, it's like it's still the funniest thing. And,
yeah, he
and,
got into politics for all the right reasons, because he was mad at the system. Screw that! I'm not gonna bitch about it. I'm gonna get into the system and fix it from inside. So few politicians are doing that. Everybody wants their their money.
He looked at their stock deals.
Their insider trading, huh?
He told the guy in the Palm Springs government this young man of the Palm Springs government who made his life miserable when he was opening his restaurant. And he told him, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run for mayor. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, well, you go ahead and run for mayor. And he goes, and you know, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to fire you. And he goes, I ran for mayor and I won. And you know what the first thing I did was? I walked into that office and the guy stood up and he says, oh, hello, Mr. Mayor. And he goes, you're fired. that was great.
Oh, listen to this story. Just popped up. General Mark Milley told cadets graduating from the U.S. Military Academy West Point Saturday to be prepared for increasing risk of global conflict and a host of new weapons, technologies, and their careers. The world you're being commissioned into has the potential for significant international conflict between great powers, and that potential is increasing, not decreasing. Why the hell is he projecting that to the graduates of West Point? Why do you even talk like that publicly?
Negativity. I guess with Biden, anything's possible, right?
Well, this is Millie talking to West Point grads.
I know.
He's projecting U.S. foreign policy with this quote. Holy cow, that scares the living crap out of me.
Yeah, man, I don't know, Al. This administration, I don't know.
Shit, listen to this quote. It's only one short sentence. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is teaching the world that, quote, aggression left unanswered only emboldens the aggressor, Milley said. Well, he's goddamn in charge of the Joint Chiefs.
So how does he explain Russia taking Crimea under Obama-Biden? How does that...
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, they gave him Crimea. Don't cry me a river. Remember all those jokes? They just gave it to him.
Gave it to him.
Take it, you commie bastard. Just be quiet. Sure enough, he's quiet until he wants Ukraine. What's next? He's going to want Poland? Oh, maybe one of the, he's going to take everything around it until he gets stopped. Maybe with Finland now in NATO, Putin will be weary of being going past the borders of Ukraine.
No.
And then we give all these trillions to Ukraine, and now that some of it's just talking peace. He'll make a peace settlement, pocket all that money, because they're corrupt bastards over there. I don't know.
I don't know either. I know. This whole thing's on backwards, you know. We dumped another $40 billion, dumping another $40 billionaire. It's just, I don't know, man.
The only thing that's right in this world are your meatballs.
Yeah. I wasn't able to make a batch for Easter, so going to have to make some. I think I'm going to make some this weekend. I'm going to make some meatballs.
I think you should. You've earned it. God, gosh darn it.
Dang it.
Dag nabbit.
I think I'm going to make some meatballs, make maybe a little bit of sauce. Should be good.
Yeah, we'll get a play-by-play next Monday. It'll be exciting. People will tune in.
Be meatballed out.
Yeah, Bobby Flay, he's gonna tune in just to hear your recipe and then steal it.
I won't give out the secret ingredient though. I might do something a little bit different. I think I'm gonna do something to enhance the meatball this time around. So.
Oh. What could that be? We can ask questions, but we'll never get the answer.
I may not tell
you. The world can only speculate.
That's right.
What could that be? Maybe something spicy. Maybe some jalapenos. Maybe throw a jalapeno in there. No?
I will tell you unequivocally, I will never put any spicy like a jalapeno in. Never. No, I will. That will not be mine. Never.
Never. That would be fraudulent.
Yeah,
an extra spice. The world is going to have to wait until next week and ponder.
Ponder
it. What could it be?
Hey, so what do you think? Really quick, what do you think about the CDC approving booster shots for ages 5 to 11?
I'm so against it on so many levels because these are booster shots for something that's already passed. What are they for?
Yeah.
The next variant? Are they for the monkeypox? I don't know.
A third variant, a third booster shot. Imagine that, a third dose.
That's crazy. Is that all these people that have been vaccinated – And I know of several, without exaggeration, that have gotten colds, which they just sniffles and coughs, and they know they're just a little bit sick, but they've actually got the COVID again, but because they don't feel so bad, they're out there just leading, they're just going about their days normally with sniffles. And they're carriers, and they're carrying this virus all over the place again and spreading it. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, but
I have. You've stated something interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's an issue. I really do.
Well, it's a big issue because they gave us such grief that, oh, we're killing our family members, we're killing our dogs, we're killing our puppies, we're killing everybody by not getting vaccinated. And then here they are getting vaccinated just because they don't feel bad. They're going about their days instead of, like you got a cold, you lock the door, you hunker down inside for a few days until you feel better. Let it pass.
Yeah.
But, so you're seeing it too. Very interesting.
Yeah, seeing that more and more people who have been vaccinated are getting hit with the COVID, and the strain is even worse. I mean, they're getting hit harder, and it's longer lasting. So, you know, I go back to what my doctor said to me he says you're going to get, you know, you haven't gotten the shot yet. I said, no, I haven't. He goes, well, just think of it this way. It's like you getting COVID without getting COVID. And I went, what? I know what he meant. So I said, what?
Yeah.
He goes, right. He goes, you're being injected with, you know, with the COVID, but you're not getting COVID. So that when you know, if you do get it, you won't. I said, well, I've already had COVID. He goes, well, yeah, but, you know, you still need to get the booster. Or you need to get the shot, excuse me. Well, I'm not going to get it. And he was adamant about it. Well, I had it, and I had, you know what? I had a little bit of chills and sniffles the first day, but after 24 hours, I was fine. Yeah. That was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, giving it to these five-year-olds, big problem. Because we don't know what's going to happen to these kids 10, 15 years down the road. Maybe nothing.
Yeah.
God forbid if something happens, that could be a whole generation that's going to be like thalidomide babies.
Yeah.
Remember thalidomide that they gave to women back in the 60s for morning sickness? And thalidomide caused all kinds of problems for kids. So...
Yeah, I that's the thing that concerns me is like, and even with people, you know, I have two family members that have, one has developed a really severe case of myocarditis, and another who did not have any issues with blood pressure was 30 days after getting the jab, 30 days, they developed hypertension, high blood pressure.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, we hear about the heart problems frequently, over and over and over. Athletes in prime condition having these heart attacks.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the blood pressure, but yeah, I guess that would be a part of hypertension, part of your heart.
And you know, I've said it before, and people say, well, you know, that's not true. It's, well, you know what? It is true, because this individual had a comprehensive medical testing. I want to say it was in April, okay, and came out clean and green. I mean, just absolutely top condition. In July, gets the jab. August, goes to the doctor, has some issues, and got hypertension. And nothing changed in that person's daily regimen. Nothing changed. Just amazing.
Scary.
So there's something
very,
in here.
Very,
yeah, it is
scary.
Yep.
And now all these doctors, like your doctor, the story you just told, Now, in my mind, my doctor loses all credibility. I don't trust them 100%, and I always used to trust my doctor to do what was in my best interests,
mm-hmm.
and now that ship sailed. That's very who do I have in my medical corner is the internet. I got to be my own body mechanic, you know?
Yeah.
And the internet's got all kinds of crap on it.
Oh. All right.
Brave New World. Make meatballs. Hey. Eat meatballs.
Make meatballs.
That's it. You're going to make vegetarian meatballs.
That'll never happen either. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I just can't bring myself to that. There is a limit.
Hell will freeze over.
Are you kidding? My mother would haunt me.
Oh, my God. Your whole Italian heritage would come down from heaven.
Oh.
And torment you.
My grandmother would, she'd scare out, be Jesus out of me.
Oh my God! You drink soy milk and making non-meat meatballs. Mamma mia!
Mamma mia! Hey, but your wife's getting me on the right track though with eating though. I gotta say, your wife is, she's good. She's good at getting.
She's researched a lot of this stuff. Yeah.
Yes, she has.
She's a good resource.
I give her a lot of credit. So
yeah,
I got my
she's
sister.
A good resource for this stuff.
My sister's going to be drinking oat milk as well. So and thanks to your wife. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'll tell her. That'll make
her
feel good.
Please do. Yep. Gotta give her kudos for that. So thank you. So and you know all it is it's helping us. You know, hopefully, I've lost weight and it's eating better. So, you know, thanks. That's that goes a long way. So,
yeah, I'll pass it on. That's good.
All right.
Speaking of dinner, I'm gonna go eat some chow. So,
all right,
not
man.
Some cow.
So chow.
I'm gonna eat some chow.
All right, man. Have a nice evening, Sue. Have a nice evening. Thank you for joining us
night,
tonight,
Sue.
So I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, you take care. Adios.
Right.
That's all,
folks. That's all, folks. Thank you, Music Blog Talk Radio. Good.